If you would open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read from verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Today's message from this passage is trials, sufferings, and the joy of salvation. Trials, sufferings, and the joy of salvation. You know, this Peter, Apostle Peter, when he writes this letter, he's writing this letter to a group of people, Jewish Christians, those who believed in the message of Christ, that Christ is the Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah, that He is the Savior of their soul, that He came and He died, He suffered, He died so that all of them could have eternal life. So he's writing to a group of people, those who are Jewish Christians. Now, if you understand that Jewish or the people, Jesus was a Jew, but He came to Jewish people, and the Jewish did not like Him. In John chapter 1, it says that He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. So when people from that people group became Christians, they were persecuted. Jewish Christians were being persecuted severely. Everyone who became a Christian, they were being persecuted severely anyway at that time. But Jewish Christians in the community of the Jews who did not receive Christ as Messiah, who crucified Him, when they became Christians, they were going through all kinds of persecution. So that's why Peter says in verse 6, he says, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So Peter is writing this to Jewish Christians, and he is telling them that you are going through a lot of trials, you are going through a lot of sufferings and persecution, but there is a joy, the joy of salvation. And that's the crux of this passage that we just read. You know, Peter mentions In this passage that we just read, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, Peter gives 11 reasons for praising God in the midst of trials and suffering and persecution. He says that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3. And He has given us new birth. And the reason or the motive behind this new birth is His great mercy. If God hadn't given us His grace, if the reason God gave us new birth is because of His great mercy, the result is a living hope. Because He has given us a new birth, the result is a living hope. The means to this hope is the resurrection of Jesus. And the object of this hope is an inheritance, that because Jesus was resurrected, because God gave us new birth because of His great mercy, and through Jesus Christ's resurrection, and because Jesus was resurrected, death did not hold Him back. Because Jesus was resurrected, He died and rose again, we have a hope of inheritance. This inheritance is indestructible. In verse 4, we find Peter is saying, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And this inheritance has been kept in heaven for us. We are being shielded for this inheritance by the very power of God. Verse 5. Because of this, we hold on to the promises of God. Again in verse 5. And the final goal is a salvation which God will reveal in the last time when Jesus is revealed. So you see, there are 11 reasons that Peter is giving to us in this passage from verse 3 through 7. He's giving us 11 reasons. And he's saying, these are the reasons why we should be praising God. I would like to share with you how, you know, Rochelle and I, you know, what happened to us in the last couple of weeks. I went to Orlando, Florida, during my stay in Orlando, Florida, when I called her, I heard that our water heater had quit working. And there was no water, no warm water, and nothing. So I came back to a house that there was no water heater, no warm water, and a wife who got sick the next day or two. And then, last week, just a couple of days ago, we had a water damage that, you know, if we hadn't noticed, it might have taken the whole roof, the whole roof down. The roof might have fallen. The ceiling might have fallen. The ceiling looks really bad right now. Our carpet got wet, so I don't know if there is any damage or not underneath it. I don't know, but it is dry on the surface. The upstairs carpet is stained badly because of a water spill from the not very willing hot water shut-off valve. You know, you turn it off, it keeps on turning it on itself. And on top of that, on Thursday night, we come back to our kitchen where we find deposits of a dog with blood everywhere. So we call the vet and we find out that our dog has kidney stone. And she needs a surgery. Comparing to all the trials and sufferings that those Jewish Christians and people, those who live in a country hostile towards Christian faith, our trials and sufferings in the last 2 weeks is very minuscule. But it still threw us to a point where we said, we can't believe this is happening. It's too much. In this country, you know, these small things become so big to us because we are not really the concept of suffering, the concept of trials, the concept of persecution is so alien to us over the course of a few hundred years. It has become so alien to us that these minuscule things throw us into depression. Not that it depressed Rochelle and I, but definitely it made us feel like, why is this happening? At one point, I almost started saying this, oh, it's too much. And then I realized, you know, there are more blessings that the Lord has given us that can, you know, than all these little problems that happened in the last week. Yes, we had to spend quite a bit of money on the water heater. We will have to spend quite a bit of money on our dog. And we might even have to spend quite a bit of money in the future for on our ceiling and on the carpet and on the shower. But we don't have to spend any money to get God's blessing because He has already blessed us. He has given us so many blessings in Christ Jesus. We have become a why me generation. The first question, the first thing that comes out of our mouth when we go through trials and sufferings is, why me? As if we are trying to tell God or tell the problem or the suffering, hey, why me? Why not my neighbor? We think suffering and trials cannot come from a loving God. We think that the Lord, if God is loving and kind, then He wouldn't allow us to go through trials and sufferings. Let me read a quote to you. I'm going to quote Malcolm Muggeridge. He says, "Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience has been through affliction and not through happiness." Let me read that again to you. "Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience has been through affliction and not through happiness." You know, trials and sufferings are stepping stones for us. Trials and sufferings bring out who we truly are, what we truly believe. It brings out the true blessings of God in our lives. Sufferings and trials brings out the true blessings in our life. Why do you think Peter started with all the blessings, all the reasons that we have to praise God, all the blessings that He has given us? He could have started with verse 6 where He says, "You are suffering so much." He didn't do that. He showed them all the blessings that God has given, all the blessings that they have that they can be thankful about, that they can praise God, and then He showed them how minuscule and how temporary these sufferings and trials are in comparison to God's blessing. Peter points out in verses 3 through 5 how rich of a blessing in God's salvation we believers are to enjoy. It's in the salvation that God has provided us, there is a richness of blessing. He tells us that it comes from God's great mercy. Our salvation, that you know, the passage, the message text, the message title from this passage is Trials, Sufferings, and the Joy of Salvation. And that joy of salvation comes from God's great mercy. It consists of new birth to new life. And it brings about the resurrection, which is made possible by Jesus Christ and will lead to an inheritance that is indestructible. When we compare the blessing of new life that God has given us, and we compare that with the day-to-day trials or sufferings that we might be going through, we find it's nothing. The trials and sufferings are nothing. Because what are we? We are just a traveler. We are pilgrims into this world. We are just going, passing through. That's what the Word of God tells us. We are in passing. We are passing through this world. We are pilgrims to this world. We are not citizens of this world. So we have only a limited time, even if there are trials and sufferings in our lives, that's for a limited time. Because after that, he who is in Christ will enter into the glory of salvation, into the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation is described with reference to three things. Three different things. In regard to past, the joy of salvation is described in this passage with reference to the past. We as Christians have been given new birth by God's mercy. And when I say the joy of salvation in regard to, it's connected, it's in regard to, describes in reference to the past. In the past, we were enemies of God. That's what the Bible tells us. We were in our sins and we were enemies of God, but because of God's great mercy, we have been given the joy of salvation in Christ Jesus, who died for our sins, who rose again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and all this is because of God." So the joy of salvation is in regard to the past. When the devil brings all the past before you and says, "Look how bad you have been, that's the reason all these trials and sufferings you are going through. The Lord doesn't really love you." You are to remind him that the joy of salvation is in reference to the past, that your past has been washed away, like the hymn says, that all my sins has been nailed on his cross and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. So the joy of salvation is described with reference to the past. The joy of salvation is also described in this passage in reference to the present. We as Christians are being shielded by God's power. In verse 5, verse 5, "who brought faith, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Talks about the believers who through faith are shielded by God's power. So in the present, we are shielded by God's power against the enemies, the devil's lies. When he comes and tells you that these trials and these sufferings that you are going through, the persecution, I don't see this country, Christians in this country really going through. But there will come a time when we'll experience that persecution again, in the rate that we are letting things happen. But ask me about persecution and I will tell you. I come from a country where persecution is a daily routine for Christians. You give your life to Christ and you are driven out of the village. You give your life to Christ, you become a Christian, and you might even die. They might come, take all your belongings, pillage your house, and take your life. And that is what persecution, the trials and sufferings when we go through, and the devil comes and tells us, "This is happening because what you did in the past." Our past has been already covered by the blood of Christ. The joy of salvation is in reference to our past, but it is also in reference to our present. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And the Lord has sent his Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit that gives us power, that shields us from the darts of the enemy. The joy of salvation is described with reference to the past, present, and it also references about the future. We as Christians will experience at the last time the final deliverance from the evil. We as Christians will experience, that's the hope of glory, that's our hope, that we will experience the final deliverance from the evil in the future, because Christ has already won over Satan. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 says, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." That's the hope of glory. That's the joy of salvation. The purpose of trials and suffering is to bring out what is genuine in our faith. The question is many times asked, how can a loving and kind God let us go through trials and sufferings? As the fire takes the dross out of silver and makes it pure sterling silver, that's what the trials and sufferings do to us. The purpose of trials and suffering is to bring out what is genuine in our faith, which is the joy of salvation. In verse 8 and 9, Peter says, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The faith in Christ has two results. In verse 8 and 9, Peter is saying, in the present, the Christian can have an inexpressible joy even in the midst of trials and sufferings. When we give our faith, when we trust Jesus, when we give our lives to Christ, when we have faith in Him, we have an inexpressible joy. We have the power, the courage, the strength to go through trials and sufferings with a smiling face, knowing that the presence of Christ within us, the joy of salvation, is much greater than our present suffering. Secondly, for the future, the hope of enjoying that salvation, the joy of salvation that Christ has already placed in our heart to the full in the presence of Jesus. So in verse 8 and 9, Peter sums it up all. The faith in Christ has two results. One, for the present, whatever may come, we know that we have a future hope that we will spend eternity with Christ in the joy of salvation. Let me end this with the quote from Malcolm Muggeridge again, the same quote. "Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience, has been through affliction and not through happiness." Happiness does not bring the character out. Happiness do not bring out the genuine aspect of our faith, but sufferings and trials bring the genuine aspect of our faith. So as you go through the minuscule trials and sufferings that Rochelle and I have been in the last 2 weeks, if you go through, not as you, if you go through, if you ever have a dog that needs kidney surgery every other year. 2005, Tasha had a surgery on the same thing. If you have your carpet or your ceiling damaged because of water damage, know this, that the joy of salvation, the blessings in Christ, the blessings in God, are much more greater, far greater than the effect of that trial or suffering. The joy of salvation is much greater than trials and suffering. Let's just pray. Father God, we come before you, and in your word, you have said that this truth will set us free. And your word is the truth, O God. And in your word, you have already put together, put forth what we need to hear, what we need to follow, what we need to accept in our lives if we want to live a Christian life. And I just pray, Lord God, that we will follow your words today that we have heard, that we'll be a doer of your word and not just hearer of your word. That we will hear and go and do it. And Lord, help us to follow your word when there is trials and sufferings come. That we will look to the joy of salvation, that we will look to your glory, Lord, and we will look to your face and the blessings that you have given us, and we will see how minuscule, how small these trials and sufferings are in comparison to the blessings and the joy of salvation that you have given us. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, and we glorify you, and we praise you, and we submit this entire week into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.